Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Monday. It is the 13th of December, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Jeff Butts. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Kelly. How are you doing today?
Not bad. How about you?
I'm doing okay.
All right. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly. Good to be here. Thanks for having us. Yeah. It's a Monday. Yay.
You went a little Kermit-y on the yay there at the end. So I sort of feel like I played the wrong theme music for this show because I should have been playing something about playing music and lighting lights. Actually, the reason that both of you are here today is to discuss the Apple Car project. And it seems, because this is not an official thing yet, of course, it seems like at this point, most of what we hear about the Apple Car project is when people leave the Apple Car project. And Jeff, that was the most recent article we've had over at MacObserver.com. There will be a link in the show notes. Was about three more people who have left.
Yeah, it's and the funny thing is they're all going to aviation startups. And that's been the case the last four, actually. Most recently, we learned Eric Rogers, who was taking care of he was supposed to be the chief engineer for the radar systems on the car. Mm-hmm. He left for Joby Aviation. Alex Clarabut was working on the battery. He went over to Archer Aviation along with Michael, I'm going to butcher this name, Schwiekutz, who was a lead of the Apple Car project as well. They've all gone to Archer. And then there was one other one that left, also went to Archer. Yeah, three have gone to Archer. Steven Spiteri, who was a hardware engineering manager, went over to Archer. And the Archer and Joby, both of them are doing flying taxis or trying to.
Okay. That was my next question, was what are these companies up to that these folks are leaving for? So that...
Yeah. I didn't look a whole lot into Joby, but Archer, what they're hoping to do is create an electric airborne taxi service that will make moving around major metropolitan areas like New York City easier.
Okay. So that was my next question, was what exactly do those companies work on? And as a spectator to all of this, because I haven't followed this as closely as either of you, but from here, it seems like working on a vehicle of whatever stripe it may be, does not necessarily require a pilot. Seems like it's probably a transferable skill to something like that, to be able to automate some of the things that you would want to be able to let the computer handle for you, kind of. So,
yep, absolutely.
So it makes sense that that's where they would end up. Brian, I know you've had some thoughts on this, so I definitely want to get you in on this conversation because you two follow this a lot more closely than I do. At this point, the most notable thing I've seen out of this in a while is the bit where someone else took over the Apple Car project, which means we're not going to see Kevin, whose last name escapes me, doing the Apple Watch piece of the presentation at Apple events.
That would be Kevin Lynch.
Kevin Lynch. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. He took over when Doug Field left for Ford.
Yeah. Okay.
Also recently.
Okay.
So. Right. So there's some doom and gloom here, right? There's some like, oh my God, rat sinking, fleeing. Everybody's leaving. Okay. We don't know that everybody's leaving. We just know that some folks have left. And I don't think that we have even vaguely a solid handle on people who have joined the project. We also don't know why they left. And I think that it is probably way, I don't think we have anywhere near enough information to know that they're leaving because the project is doomed. And I would even add that if the project was doomed, I think Apple would kill it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And, so, and you know, I'm hoping, you know, when Lynch came on board, he did, you know, we did get an idea that he had a new vision for the project and he was going to try to bring it in line with that. So, you know, I will grant that maybe these departures are in line with that plan. It just, they're the people that they're losing outnumber the people that we know they're gaining.
And but that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
It doesn't. No.
It might mean something to be sure, Jeff, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
True.
Right. Cause we don't know the total headcount. We don't know it's harder to see the folks that are coming in, I think, because it's easier to monitor someone who is leaving when the LinkedIn profile changes than it is to catch everybody that might or might not be coming in.
That's a solid point. Simply because, you know, we can look at people at one company changing to a different company as opposed to dozens of other companies changing to Apple. So that's a good point.
So here's another thought about this.
Yes.
Historically, under Steve Jobs, Apple has been the company that would kill a project very late in its development. But then once it got past a certain point, it was going to come to market. That was like their whole modus operandi when it came to developing new products.
Yeah.
And it is possible that at this point in Tim's career, he is not going to follow that path. And he's just, you know, like hellbent to bring this particular project to market no matter what. And maybe he considers even like a signature item, right? Okay. Or his legacy, maybe. Right. Okay. That's possible.
Yeah,
it would be I think that we would probably be seeing some higher level defections from Apple if that were the case, because that would be a very, very cultural like, for instance, if the reality was that this car was doomed and not going to happen. And yet, you know, Apple is just continuing to bull ahead with it. That is a real cultural change. That would be a real cultural change. And that's the kind of thing that could actually get, you know, like I said, higher level executives, you know, quitting in protest or like, you know, just frustrated that the car continues to get resources when their pet project doesn't or something. And we're not seeing any of that either. And we don't really have any evidence to suggest that Apple has suddenly changed course on being able or unable to kill a big project this late in its development. And to me, that says that the project it continues on, and that in its by extension says that it's probably continuing on for a reason.
Okay. So what you're saying is that if Tim Cook was just hanging on to this by a thread, even though it's floundering, that we would see defections from other projects. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that we would probably be seeing some executives leaving. Like, you know, this is not my Apple anymore.
Okay. Okay.
If the car was being clung to when it's like some sort of obvious failure. And instead what we've seen is definitely a series of high profile people, including Bob Mansfield, who did some initial cleanup. Mm-hmm. But he left, you know, like after he had already retired from Apple, and then bringing Kevin Lynch in, to me, is not the person you're going to bring into a project that you want to kill or wind down.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
I don't by any means think that the project is doomed. I don't see it being scrubbed. My question is, what is this going to add to the timeline? of it eventually hitting the streets. You know, they lost their head of radar. Granted, they got Tesla's self-driving software director, CJ Moore, but you know, what, and you're right, we don't see the net gains and net losses. But when we see these high profile engineers leaving, it makes me wonder, you know, is this going to come out in 2025 like they're hoping, or is it going to be more like 2030?
Oh, that's a good question. And
I'm going to let, and I'm going to let Brian respond to that question in just a minute. Because first, I want to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week, who is Hunter Douglas. So who doesn't love to live well, to be perfectly at ease in comfort and in style? Hunter Douglas can help you do exactly that with their innovative window shade designs, gorgeous fabrics, and control systems so advanced, they can be scheduled to automatically adjust to their optimal positions throughout the day. Perhaps it's the way the shades diffuse harsh sunlight to cast a glow across the room, or maybe it's the superior insulation the shades provide, keeping you warmer in winter and cooler in summer, and possibly lowering your utility bills. When you add all of that to Hunter Douglas's PowerView technology, your shades can be set to automatically reposition for the perfect balance of light, privacy, and insulation morning, noon, and night. Live beautifully with Hunter Douglas, enjoying greater convenience, enhanced style, and increased comfort in your home throughout the day. Visit hunterdouglas.com/TDO today for your free Style Get Smarter design guide with creative ideas and smart solutions for dressing your windows. That's hunterdouglas.com/TDO, hunterdouglas.com/TDO for your free design guide. We'd like to thank Hunter Douglas for sponsoring the show today. So, I want to get back to that. So, Brian, I wanted to get your response there as far as the status of this project, because I'm curious what you think about it as well. Like, as far as
it to. Go ahead.
Well, it sounds like it's had some issues, but it also sounds like it's not being killed. But and, you know, Kevin Lynch, part of. Again, as a spectator, part of the reason I thought they ended up putting him on the project was because he would also be a person who is comfortable in the media event when it comes time to unveil this thing. So that sort of felt like admitting that it is a thing we're going to end up showing people. But that could just be my take on it.
I can't imagine. Yeah, I can't. I hear what you're saying, but I cannot imagine that anyone would be promoted to head a project so that because they look good on stage later.
Oh, no, I think that's just a bonus. Like, we're going to put a competent person in charge who happens to be a good person to unveil it because we've had him do these before. That was all, like, as a side benefit.
I personally can't imagine that being relevant, but I do hear you. And I have to argue against myself, because maybe what if Tim has just, like, you know, he's like, you know, this and my AR glasses are going to be my signature product. This is what I'm going to be known for. So, you know, gosh darn it, we have got to get this to market. This has to come to market. I don't care what you say, we're going to bring it to market. Maybe he has sort of entered that sort of mindset. I kind of doubt it. Tim Cook is one of the most disciplined executives in the world of tech that we've ever seen anywhere. Mm-hmm. Ever. And it would be really surprising to me if he were to abandon Apple's core modus operandi when it came to development. So, I mean, I think we're going to see this thing.
Oh, I do too. I think we will.
I don't think we'll see it before it's ready.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right.
I do too.
I just hope it's soon, because I really want to see it.
I would really like to start talking about it in terms of what we know and actually knowing things about it, instead of sort of having to sit back and speculate as people keep leaving, because we're not getting any other kind of headlines about it at this point.
Right.
That sound any more reliable than anything we hear about anything else, really. You know, like the iPhone 14 rumors right now sound about as credible as everything we hear about the Apple car. So aside from staffing changes, which are a pretty definitive thing to look at, we don't have any other solid info about the Apple car stuff.
We get staffing changes, and occasionally we get records from the California DMV on how many self-driving cars Apple has registered.
Those have been the most solid. All the regulatory leaks or filings, really. They're not even leaks, but all the regulatory filings have been the best source of information.
Yeah.
The most dependable source of information.
And I do not envy the people who have to data mine that stuff. So I'm glad someone is doing that. And I'm really glad that person is not me, because that would be rough. So both of you think it's coming. Jeff, when do you think it's a sooner than later thing, or are you just hoping it's a sooner than later thing?
I can't make up my mind. Sometimes I think, yes, it's going to come within the next 3 to 4 years. Mm-hmm. The fact of Apple's habitual secrecy and silence on it just always drives me batty.
Yes.
But, you know, 2025 is still 3 years away, if I figure that this year's almost over.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can see it hitting the streets by 2025, as long as they keep the balance of personnel.
Okay. Brian, how about you?
I don't know about the timing. Making a car is a big deal. And I also still don't know whether or not. Yeah, I always come back to Tim Cook saying on stage in an interview that there were three things in the car industry that he thought were interesting. And that was electric vehicles, autonomous vehicles, and ride sharing. Mm-hmm. And he said that the intersection of those three places was a very interesting place to be. That's.
Yeah.
Almost a word for word quote, but it's certainly a very close paraphrase. Okay. And to me, that always said that like Apple was most interested in having its own fleet of ride sharing vehicles. Uh-huh. Or maybe even just providing vehicles for ride sharing services, which I kind of doubt. But we don't know what form the quote unquote Apple car is going to take. And we certainly don't know when. Making a car is really hard. And I think that if Apple's actually going to make a physical car, we're going to be getting leaks, again, regulatory leaks, filing leaks, deals with local governments, that sort of thing. And of course, deals with some kind of major company that's probably going to actually make the car for Apple. And we're not getting those now. So that probably says they're not anywhere close to manufacturing. So I don't know, 3 years kind of feeling like really soon, you know?
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we will find out about that soon. That's going to do it for us today. But if you have any sort of thoughts about the car, or if you have some deep down information that you feel you can share with us so that we can talk about something a little more definite, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. Thank you both for being here today. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.